Matthew 10, the apostles are being sent out. Jesus is sending them out. And as he's sending them out, he tells them some things that are going to happen to them. And this is an example to us too. Jesus said this in John. He said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. I've said a lot of times that we preach or we emphasize a come to church gospel. But Jesus said, go ye into all the world. That's a little different. Come here. But he said, go there, right? We put a whole lot of emphasis on seats being filled. I know I worked at a church that had thousands of people that came to it. To be seated was the big thing. It was the big goal. Get the seats filled. We got a lot of seats, get them filled. With that comes a lot of other things. Won't go into that. Whole different message. But there's a great difference from being seated and being sent. And if our goal is just to be seated, well, then we need to put all of our efforts into how comfortable you are and how entertained that you are and how nice you feel when you get here and how wonderful you feel when you leave. But that's not his goal. His mark of success is different than our mark of success. Our mark of success in the church is how many people are seated. His mark of success is how many people are sent. And as he's telling them and sending them out in Matthew 10, verse 16, he says some very important things, beginning with verse 16. He says, behold, which just means see. Or look upon this. He said, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. I imagine that they were not saying, oh boy, I cannot wait to get out there. Mm-mm. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I send you out as sheep among wolves. Be harmless. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. Scourge meant beat. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry. Say, do not worry. That also means don't be afraid. That also means fear not, okay? Do not worry. I'm entitling this message today, From Fearful to Feared. Well, we didn't get anywhere, Pastor John. Oh, if you don't realize that we're going somewhere with that, you totally missed it. We're not going from fear to fear. We're going from fearful to fear. To feared in the context of the way that the Bible talks about it. And I'm going to tell you, you can look forward to that journey. Okay? So, back to the passage. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Let me just stop right there and say, there's times in my life when I brought a story back to my wife after something that happened. And I can think of everything I wish I would have said, but I didn't say it. Because It was there somewhere, but it was bouncing around. And the shock of what had happened had left me speechless, or maybe I should have been speechless. Maybe saying nothing would have been better than what I did say. I'll give you another example. My daughter, Kenzie, she was such a straight arrow, but she would face these things at school. I mean, if you're going to be a straight arrow, school's going to get you at that age. And she would say, "This person did something to me." And she said, and I was like, And Christine would always bust her. She'd say, "Did you say that?" She'd say, "No, but I was thinking it." I mean, she'd do that over time, wouldn't she, Michaela? She just, that was her. I had it to say, but I did. But she made it sound like she stood up for herself. And Christine said, "Did you say that?" "No, but I wanted to. I was thinking that." So what this scripture is saying, hey, you've got an advantage. Stop worrying about what could happen. And if something happens, I'll give you what to say. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? "Now, brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake." What an incredible, Jesus got no appointments with his agent to speak during halftime to any teams. No motivational speaking in this, except for he was telling them the truth. What if he would have just, what if the motivational speech was this? "You cannot win, but I've already won." You see that? "They will hate you because of my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Endurance means you're going to have a little something in the tank. And let me just go ahead and tell you, you're probably going to need a little bit more than what you already got right now. "When they persecute you in this city, flee to another, for assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Well, some of you might be wiping a brow of relief because, yeah, he's obviously talking about Israel, but he's not talking about here. But there's not a lot happening here. But why are we still scared? A disciple is not above, A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple to be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them. Let me back that one up. Therefore, do not fear them. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Let me tell you, that's the reason for the attack anyway. Because what's hidden, they want to keep hidden. Because if it weren't hidden anymore, it'd be exposed. And if it's exposed, they're exposed. But if we can keep it hidden, it's worth all cost to keep it hidden. But Jesus said, there's nothing that's hidden that won't be exposed. And he said, don't be afraid. Because this isn't about what you can do or what you got. This is about what he's got and what he can do. "Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. Nothing hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Listen to this passage. "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. I remember when I was a kid one time, we had a cabin with a pond outside of it. Pond in our house. We were that rich. No, it was a cabin. It was a cabin. It was so cold, I had to go outside. We had a coal pit behind it. Had to go dig that coal up and start a fire in a pot belly stove. That thing was called a whopper. It would get so hot, it would get red around the bell, and you could touch a piece of wood to it, and I'd scrape a piece of wood because it would try to catch on fire. That's how hot that thing was. Outside of it was a pond. And I remember one winter, it was so cold outside. This is a true story. And this stuck with me about the sparrow. I watched a little sparrow fly up on just some cattails or something right beside the pond, like right beside the water. And I watched that sparrow, and all of a sudden, it fell over to the ground. And I walked over to it, and it was dead. And I remember something my dad preached. He said, God saw that. I've never seen a bird die. Just like, it was that bird's time, but I saw it that day. And it stayed inside of me. And he said, you're worth more than any sparrow. The hairs of your head are numbered. And he's saying, don't be afraid. Okay? Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Now, I know that you're thinking, Pastor John, you said this might change me. Just hang on, because we're going to go somewhere with this. Okay? Already mentioned Kenzie. I will mention her a lot for the rest of my life. But as a child, Kenzie's life was very different. And we grew up, we were pastoring a church, inner city church, and actual gunshots would be fired out in our neighborhood, like right across the street. I had Michaela on my four-wheeler. I mean, there's your pastor, inner city, riding around on a four-wheeler. And I had Michaela. Do you remember that? Oh, yeah. It's hard to forget something like that, isn't it? We're driving out in a little field behind our house. It was just extra. It doesn't matter. We're driving around, and we hear pop, 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 pop. And there's a guy in jeans it's wintertime, on the back deck of his single-wide trailer, and he's firing a pistol at somebody in his backyard. And we're like here, and they're like there. And he's just unloading his pistol on somebody because they're trying to take some firewood. And that's the neighborhood we lived in. Crazy. As I continue to preach about not being afraid. But Kenzie would say things like this. She would say, why do they come? And Christine's like, who is they? Because we're living in an inner city house. And like, my daughter just said, why do they come? And we're like, who are you talking about? She said, angels. I'm like, And Christina's like, well, tell me about it. When do they come? Well, they'll come at night. And she said this. You're so smart. She said, what do they say? And she said, they say, don't worry. She's about 3 or 4 years old. Y'all know I pastor you. I don't preach about angels much. I don't preach like the do-do-do-do type stuff. I don't preach the Twilight Zone to you guys. So for my daughter to say, why do they come? And when they get here, they're at the end of the bed and they say, don't worry. That sounds just like angels that appeared in the Bible to me. The first thing out of their mouth is, fear not. So a language that a child would understand would be, don't worry, right? Don't worry. Over and over, he's saying to us throughout the New Testament, don't worry. In other words, I'm here. It is me who's appearing. I'm sent from God, and don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. That's actually translated, that scripture, when he says fear not, is actually translated as that fear is absolutely to be struck with fear and to be seized with alarm, danger, or dread. So I told you the title of this message is From Fearful to Feared. The fearful is the absolutely struck with fear, seized with alarm, danger, and dread. And the feared, and we'll get there in a few minutes, I'll just go ahead and give you a sneak of what it's going to be, is awe and reverence. To fear God properly is awe of Him and reverence of Him. Okay? It is getting fear in its proper position. It's getting fear in its proper place. It's having proper fear. Fear in its rightful place and position and in the correct context is what we're going to talk about today. Because there's plenty going on right now to make you fearful. When someone gets fearful, a response comes out of them, right? And you've got to respond to that fear correctly so that the response that comes out of you matches up with the fear that would overtake you to dominate that fear and to stand now in right position with God. It'll make a little more sense in a minute. You're not going to believe the story that I'm about to share with you. It's out of the Bible, but you're going to be like, Pastor John, how do you work that one out? Mark chapter 4, okay? It's art class with John. Now, I can plainly tell what that is, but do y'all know what it is? Oh, wait. Guesses. Boat. Obviously. I mean, good night, Jonathan. What'd you drink? Anybody have a boat? Is that right? Bows, the front of the boat. Stern is at the back of the boat. I might not have spelled stern right. I think it's got an A in it, doesn't it? Foresight? Okay. Just so you know. Got it. That's really one word. Port side, starboard. So, you know, four sides to a boat. Where was Jesus at? Stern side. Let's read this together. Mark chapter 4, we're going to begin with verse 35. On the same day, this is the day that Jesus spent teaching parables. He spent the whole day teaching parables. And the Bible said, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But Jesus said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now here's the message. From fearful to feared is right here. Fearful to feared. He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. Something happened right there. They went from this to this. And it was a place of dread. It was a place of fear. When we lived in Mobile, Alabama, a man at the church bought a boat. I think it was 23 feet long. And he bought it down in Florida. And I remember him telling me that he bought it on eBay. And he motored that boat all the way around Florida in the Gulf Coast to Mobile, Alabama. And he was keeping it there. And he invited me to go fishing with him. So I'm all in. I'm going. I fished the piers almost every Sunday night. That's where God gave me rest. Sunday nights, you'd find me on the pier. But to get out there in that water, that was like, I'm in. And we got out there, and he had this new boat. He was so proud of it. And he owned a restaurant, and he had all of this fried food out there. So I'm like, oysters, fish, French fries, hush. But I mean, this was like great. And all of a sudden, in the distance, the storm starts coming. They call them a squall, and you could see a funnel cloud because that was common there. It gets on land, it'll be a tornado, but out there, it's just drawing up water. But you don't want to be in that. Now, the Coast Guard usually doesn't come if you call them. They usually don't come. If you get in trouble and your boat breaks, they usually don't come for that. They refer you to a service. They'll send somebody out, and you'll pay like, at that time it was like $400 for somebody to come pull you in. But that squall is getting closer, and it's calm, and you could see it out there. I said it's calm, and you could see it out there. It is calm, and you could see it out there, but it's getting closer. And as it got closer and closer, I noticed that my friend was working on his boat, and he couldn't get it to start. And he pulled that big cover off of the motor, and it's coming, and it's coming. And as he's trying to get it to start, if you've ever seen inside of a boat motor, there's all these rubber hoses and wires and all this stuff. All of a sudden, smoke started coming off of that, and that rubber started melting right off. The rubber, I'm like, we're stuck. We ain't going nowhere, and we might die. And to make things more exciting, he gets on his radio and starts calling the Coast Guard, and he starts saying this word, Mayday, Mayday. Mayday, Mayday. These ears have heard it. And in about just a handful of minutes, here comes this big Coast Guard boat. And I didn't realize, if I'm not mistaken, they've got these Rolls-Royce engines in them. But that dude is cutting the water, coming right at us. He grabs us, tows us all the way in safely. And when we get, I mean, it's already going crazy out there. It goes from calm to storm like that. They didn't refer us because they couldn't. They're the Coast Guard. It was not just a broken engine. It was that the storm was coming. We were in grave danger, and they got us pulled out of there. I've been rescued by the Coast Guard. How about that? What have you done? But have you been rescued by the Coast Guard? Let's just bring it on back. All right? So, you know, everybody's always got a story. That reminds me of that time we were out there fishing too. Just had to throw that one in there. Fear. Oh, yeah, I was afraid. You hear Mayday, you'll get fearful too. The storm is not just a distraction, it's a fear producer. Fear is a faith attack. It's an assault on your faith. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let me tell you what being in the kingdom is like. This is what being in the kingdom is like. There is a calm before the storm, and there's a calm after the storm. Right? Y'all know that, right? But in the kingdom, there's a calm during the storm. That's where we're supposed to be. The calm during the storm. That's who Jesus is. That's why when they thought they were about to die, Jesus was asleep on a pillow. And they woke him up and said, "Don't you care that we perish?" And he taught them a lesson. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I mean, they'd seen him raise people from the dead. They'd seen him heal people. They've seen arms that were halt, and he said, "Stretch it out," and it comes out, and it's a regular arm. They've seen blind eyes open, but a storm comes up. Now they think that they're going to die. See, you don't care about it as much until it's you. Someone gets a report that they got cancer. You're like, "Oh." And if you know them, I mean, somebody this morning, their house got burglarized. Like, we're so desensitized to the news. Somebody else got in a head-on collision. They're dead. And if you know them, you're like, it changes when you know them, right? But when it really changes is when it's you. That's just because we're human. Are you still with me? All right. Let's go to Revelation. But hold that. Because you need to remember this word right here. We'll put it down here. Fearful. He said, "Don't be that." He said, "Don't be fearful." I think it's Matthew 1:20. Right there at the beginning of the New Testament, an angel comes to Joseph in a dream and says, "Don't worry." If you go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis, you'll find it. Don't worry. All throughout the Bible, fear not, fear not, fear not. And now Jesus says, why are you fearful? Why are you fearful? And he works a miracle out of his incredible power. And just like that, they're snapped back to reality. And now they're full of fear, awe, and reverence. They said, who is he that even the wind obeys him? Whatever is bothering you this morning, what is that in comparison to who he is that even the wind obeys him? It's time for our faith to realize it's under attack and stop being distracted by things that would otherwise cause us to be fearful. Those things should actually make us full of faith because even the wind obeys him. Revelation. Pastor John, how in the world are we going to Revelation? Do you know, I can't stand when you open up that chapter, that book. Revelation is scary. Revelation is about judgment. Let me tell you something about judgment. Judgment is scary unless it's in your favor. Did you get that? Y'all are looking kind of shell-shocked at me this morning. Y'all are quiet today. Judgment is scary unless it's in your favor. people that get a judgment of, you know, you see it. I can't call names, lawyers. And their advertisement on the big bulletin board or the big billboard, it says, $13 million case. Like, man, my neck and that accident, my neck feel like $13 million right now. I'm calling that guy. See, judgment is good if it's in your favor. We should have that kind of relief. Something comes my way, I'm calling on the one who even the wind obeys him. This is the part that's going to bring it home. Revelation chapter 21, the first 8 verses, and then that's it. I'm going to close after that. Okay? Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no sea. Let's be careful that we're not still so concerned with this earth. Let's don't love this earth too much, because this earth is passing away. It says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And it also said, and also there was no more sea. You know what I get out of the story that I just read? No more seas, no more storms, no more Coast Guard. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death. There shall be no more sorrow nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. When we have the literal presence of the Lord, there's going to be some things that die. Death is going to die. Fear is going to die. Pain is going to die. I'm looking forward to that day. The former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Write, for these words are true and faithful. Everything else will be new, but his words of being true and faithful will not be new. They will be the same. Because there's other scripture that says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will stand forevermore. And he said, write that down. My words are true and faithful. There will be no replacement for my words. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, what in the world does that have to do with this? when it mentions the fearful right here, it's talking about the cowardly, the timid. When he's just got through telling us all throughout his word, I said, don't be afraid. I said, don't be fearful. But he says it right here, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the word interpreted right there, the cowardly, is actually, it says they're cowardly, timidly. It's saying, this is how it's interpreted. Christians who through cowardice give way under persecution and apostatize. That word apostatize means that they renounce, they forsake or abandon their belief and their faith. Going to tie it all together. This word cowardly right here, I'm telling you, it is translated as the fearful ones. You can go in your Bible and look that word up, and guess what? You're going to find it in two places besides Revelation 21 and 8. You're going to find it in two places, and both of those places are the same story. They are the story that I just told you when the disciples are on the boat with Jesus. And he said, why are you fearful? That's the word. It's the only place that you're going to find it. It's in two stories, and it's the same word. And Jesus says this about it. This is Revelation. The word says this, and the cowardly and the fearful, the timid, those who have renounced the faith because of cowardice, fear. So Jesus had them on a boat, and a storm comes up, and they get cowardly, and it's proven by what they say after they wake up Jesus. Because if they would have just awakened Jesus, it would have been a whole lot better scenario. The best thing that they could have done is just hold on for the ride. But they got afraid, and they went and woke up Jesus. And they didn't just say, Jesus, it's a storm. Do what you do with storms. No. They said, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? One of the worst things they could have ever said to Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. They were looking at a death here. But in him, there is a death here, followed by a life with him forever. And you still don't have the impact of this. So let me give it to you. The impact of this is the positioning of what he said, and it's also what he said. But the cowardly, unbelieving, translated as the sinful, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He gives a list of all these bad things. And I'm just going to give you the translated. Yeah, I'm just making sure I'm reading it right. And at the beginning of the list, all the people that are getting ready to be thrown into a lake of fire, at the top of the list are the cowardly. The first to go are the cowardly. Why? Because he's told them from the beginning, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How can you come with me any further? I've shown you myself, and you're still cowardly. And then in Revelation, it tells us that this word, that these people that are going to be taking it, I mean, we don't have to ask. We don't have to ask. The unbelieving. Now, what would constitute unbelieving? We know. What about abominable? Is this abominable? Yeah, we test those lines. Murderers. Now, what exactly did you mean by murderers? But we dance around with cowardice. And he puts it first on the list. I think we better address cowardice in the body of Christ. Can you imagine everybody on death row? And they're sitting there looking at each other, sizing each other up still and saying, what are you in for? One guy says, murder. Another guy says, I was in for being abominable. And the toughest guy of all says, well, I'm in here for being a coward. And everybody shudders. That's how ridiculous it is. Y'all seen those little plays on words where they got somebody and they got the prisoners sitting around and it says, what are you in for? Somebody's being tough. Somebody did something really bad. Somebody did something really bad, but the toughest of all spilled some milk or something like that. You've seen those? This ain't spilling milk. This is a conscious decision to renounce my faith in God. And that will cost you everything. And that will put it at the top of the list. Very first thing. That will never make us tough. That will just make it a shame. That will just make it a shame. I wish I could make it more harsh. I wish I could make you understand it more. I wish I could reveal it to you better. But what he's saying is if you don't believe in me and you back away from who I am, you fall into a category of those who will be cast into a lake of fire. And this one tops the list. It's almost like that game that, remember those games, it's like, which of these things doesn't fit? A football, a tennis ball, a basketball, and a stuffed animal. Oh, I'm learning. I think those other things are different. Yeah, stuffed animal doesn't fit. It's almost like it doesn't fit in that list, except for it's at the top of the list. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to stop cowering in fear. Can you imagine what the church would look like if we just weren't afraid anymore? If we just don't change anything else, let's just don't be afraid anymore. You can't do anything to me that finishes me off because I know what the Word says. The Word says, don't be afraid of the one who can kill the body. Be afraid of the one who can kill your soul in hell. See, when I leave here, I'm going there. I got one option because I've sealed it in Him. I've been sealed in Him. He lives inside of me. There's something else that's been produced inside of me now. To not be afraid. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to walk in fear. If I get a diagnosis that I've got 2 months to live, in 2 months I'm going to see Jesus. And I know that one day when I look behind me, she'll be there, and he'll be there, and she'll be there, and she'll be there. Does that make sense to anybody this morning? I'm not saying for us to square our chest and be tough guys and everybody start meeting up at the gym and high five. And, hey, Team Jesus. The church world has been weird enough. Let our faith be so much that whatever comes our way, it's Jesus. Jesus. This is short. This is a life. This is a life. I don't know how long mine will live, but I'm closer to it being over than I was 10 seconds ago, and so are you. Would you come? I just want to open this up right now to somebody who would be brave enough to say, there's been some stuff happen in my life that in my natural man, I'm afraid. I got some fear. If that's you, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to anybody else right now. But you got something. I don't know if it's a bad report. I don't know if somebody's breathing down your back. I don't know if some agency's breathing down your back. I don't know if you've gotten some type of trouble or you've got some type of sickness that you're going on. I'm not trying to expose that. I'm just trying to expose that place of fear inside of you that's not from God. That's actually a well of faith that you are about to tap into, and it's about to boil up inside of you. Am I talking to anybody? That's what I was talking about when I said today can be your changing day. Is anybody tired enough from waking up? Yes. 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 I'm tired enough. I know all these things will plague you if you let them. You wake up in the morning, and the only thing that gave you any reprieve is that you went to sleep last night. When you got to sleep, it left you. That was your only relief, is that it left you. And you fell asleep, and you looked forward to sleep, because sleep is the only thing that separates you from thinking about it all day long. And then when you wake up the next morning, you're okay, and for about 5 seconds, and then that thing hits you. Oh, yeah, the thing, the thing, the thing, the thing, and it stays with you all day long. Is anybody tired of that? Then take your rightful position. Take your rightful position and stand up in Him and say, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. Not another day. Not another half day. Not another night. Not another right before I go to bed. And not another when I wake up in the morning, because the Bible does say this. It does say weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There's got to be a break in this thing somewhere. And it's through His Word and the truth of His Word. And it's time right now for that to break in your life. And I'm not talking about that tomorrow you're going, all of a sudden you're going to get a totally different report. I'm not talking about the thing changing. I'm talking about you changing. His Spirit lives inside of you. It's taken up territory that doesn't belong to Him. It belongs to God because He lives inside of you. And He owns all your heart. There's no such thing of Him saying, give me most of your mind, renew most of your mind, renew about 94% of it. And He doesn't say, give me the part of your heart that's broken. He said, give me your whole heart. Give me what's broken, give me what's not broken. Give me your mind, give me what's broken, what's not broken. Give me all of you, and I'll give you all of me. If we were truthful sometimes, we'd say, yeah, Christ lives inside of me, but I'm going to show you about where He lives. He made it about the backside of my big toenail. That's about where He lives. That's about how much capacity I've got for you. And He's trying to tell you, I want to live in all of you. All of you. Your whole body consumed. Thank God I wore a decent pair of socks today. Oh, all y'all looking at my feet, checking and making sure. I want it to be real inside of you today. Not another day of fearfulness. I'm going to get unlisted today. I'm coming off of this list. This list is not for me. I don't live with this on my list. I live for Him. In Him I live. In Him I move. In Him I have my being. Amen. Heather, what you got over there?
After worship, I had to go get myself together. And I came and sat down and I wrote this down. I had no idea what you were preaching on today, none whatsoever. But I was just heartbroken. I could feel how heartbroken the Holy Spirit is over the state of the church today. He is absolutely heartbroken of where we are. And I'm speaking for myself too, what I'm coming out of. And that's what I feel like Holy Spirit wants us to come out of. I feel like that's what you're telling us it's time to come out of. And this is what I wrote down. They will be shaken from their slumber, the toil of the everyday life. Everything they have trusted in this earth will be shaken. They will have no choice, the church, but to turn to me. Time has come to decide. I am the Redeemer. I am the Savior. I am the only way. Nothing of this earth or in this earth will save you. The time has come. It will all be shaken. You think your creations, your inventions, your answers, your wisdom will save you? I tell you, it will not save you. Only I am. My heart, this Holy Spirit's heart, is broken over the church. Why have you allowed yourself to be lulled to sleep? Where is your fire and where is your zeal? Why do you fear the enemy more than me? Don't you know I am the only way? Nothing in this world can save you. Why are you not moved by blessing my name? Do you have no understanding of the words you sing to me? Your love is hidden. Your love has been distorted by this world. And my love is the only answer. I'm telling you to connect to me. Tap into the revelation of my word so you are not deceived. Spend time with me. With me. Now is the time to press in, to firm up your foundation on my rock. Close up the holes in your house that would allow your spirit to be shaken. The time to decide is running short. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Now make your decision today. Did you not hear my shepherd say you can't have one foot in both kingdoms? Today is the day to decide. The time is now. And I've been that person. I've been that person that couldn't wait to lay my head down, to go to sleep, to get reprieve from the day. Because I didn't know how. I didn't know how to disconnect myself from the things that I faced throughout the day. The storms, the trauma, I can't share everything. But the things that have tormented me in my life, I just longed for the day to be over so I could go to sleep and pray for reprieve, that my mind could just stop. And I would wake up in the morning and I would have to literally force myself out of bed. I'd have to make myself get up for my kids, to have to go to work. Like, I had to make myself do it because I didn't have a choice. There was no other choice. But God has been bringing me out of that, and that's what I know He can do for everyone in here that struggles with that grip of fear, that grip of there's no other way but Him. There's no other way but Him. And I feel like that's what Holy Spirit is trying to get across to His church today. He is the only way. He is the only way. He is the answer. There is no other answer. There is nothing we can do in ourselves, of ourselves, in our being. It is only Him. It is only Him.
Amen, Heather. Amen. There's a cry in the Word for us to wake up. And you said it, Heather. Wake up out of our slumber. And I got a picture whenever you said that of the disciples waking Jesus up, who was asleep in a storm, asking Him, don't you care if we perish? When the reverse of that is actually what's going on. We're asleep, and He cares that we perish. Will you not wake up and see that He cares that you perish? And He made the way for that for you right now. It's been here, but some of you are just now realizing it. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Don't hit the snooze again. Don't lay there another 9 minutes. Ask me how I know. 9 minutes. It is time to wake up from our sleep, from our slumber, and to get in line and stand in the position of His righteousness, not ours, just His. Amen. If that's you, will you stand right now and say, I'm going to wake up right now. I'm waking up. God, You're waking me up. I hear Your call inside of me for me to wake up and know that You care, that I will perish without You. You're not just in the boat with me, and I'm not just in the boat with you. You're the boat. You're everything, and I'm nothing. But I will make it with you. I want you to pray over your feet right now. Lord, that my feet are not in two kingdoms. that I don't have one foot in the kingdom of the enemy and one foot trying to get into your kingdom. And I'm not having been in your kingdom trying to see if I can keep my foot out of your kingdom. I'm stepping all the way in to your kingdom. Now, if you'll put your hand on your mind and say, God, heal my mind. Renew my mind. Let my mind be set in you. I'm not going to be conformed to this world. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because your word says I can. And it says for me to take this action, and it says for me to take this step of renewing my mind so that I can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of you, God. So that I won't be unstable in all of my ways. I won't be unstable anymore. I'll be able to stand. An unstable man can't even stand. I need to stand. Renew my mind so I can stand. And my heart, Lord. God, I can't be double-hearted. I've tried. I've let my heart go to other places. My heart is only reserved for you. It's the only place where true happiness is going to come. It's being a heart that is consumed with you. A heart whose desire is to you. Lord, I pray for the exchange to take place in me. As I step into your kingdom, my mind will be exchanged into a mind of Christ. My heart will be exchanged into a heart that is given to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Will you just receive that right now? Will you just take